The book of John, chapter number 20. And verse number 8. The Bible says, "Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed." And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you will help us from this scripture. I pray that you'll help us to trust you. You know how important that is for us. God, you know if we are going to follow our guide, we need to trust our guide. And I pray that you'll help us to trust you as we ought to. I pray that you'll help us to trust your word as the word of our guide. God, I pray that you will be using the scripture, the message this morning, as it be your will to speak to hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. John chapter number 20 and verse number 8. "Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed." I want to use as a text those words, "he saw and believed." Faith, of course, is so important for the Christian life. In fact, faith is the victory. Now, the difference between salvation and damnation for all eternity is faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The difference between failure as a believer and victory as a believer is faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Faith is so important. In this case, the Bible says, "He saw and believed." Now, I want to speak for a little bit on this subject, slow to believe and swift to believe. Now, notice the next verse. The Bible says in the next verse, "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." Of course, this is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible, the scripture speaks about John and Peter. They knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now, if Peter and John did not know the scripture that Jesus must rise again from the dead, then what did John, and we may speak about John in particular because I believe he is one that is spoken of here, what did John believe? In my study of the scriptures, if I'm teaching through a book, and preaching through a book, I may come across a section that I've got a question about, and I may have an idea what I believe the interpretation should be, and then I may check with other writers, others, and it can be an assurance, it can be a blessing, if there are good men that are in agreement. And then on the other hand, sometimes I may find that there are good men that disagree with me on the interpretation of a passage. Of course, I am to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. This is a case in which you may find differing opinions on what this means, but I believe that according to the context, that the belief here was not in the Scripture that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. In fact, if you will, let's go back to verse number 1. Verse number 1 of the chapter. "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple," of course that's speaking of John, "did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre, and stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, of course, John came first to the sepulcher, and saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now, of course, it should be that we accept the word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar, no matter how many people line up on the side that is contrary to God and the word of God. In this case, I believe that the belief of John at this point was not in that scripture. In fact, if the order of the verses 8 and 9 were different, I may believe differently. If the Bible had said that earlier that they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead, but then Peter and John looked into the tomb, they saw the tomb was empty, they saw the clothes there, no Christ there, then if it had said he believed, then I might think, well, what he believed was that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. But the order is, first the Bible says he believed, then the scripture says they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now, the testimony of Mary Magdalene. They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. That was her testimony. And the two disciples went to the sepulcher, looked in, and the Bible says that John, in particular, speaking of here, believed, for they knew not the scripture that Jesus Christ must rise from the dead. I believe that they believed the testimony of Mary Magdalene. Apparently somebody has stolen the body, taken the body. In fact, let me give you a couple of examples. Dr. Oliver B. Green, and Dr. Green, he's a good man, did some good preaching. Dr. Green resorted to the Greek to explain this. Mr. H.A. Ironside, Dr. Green's had a three-volume set on the book of John. Mr. H.A. Ironside had a two-volume set. Mr. Ironside gave the story in his own words, adding things to that. And in fact, let me give you a portion of his writing. I think I can see Peter calling him in, and they stand there looking down upon those linen clothes, noticing the turban, the head no longer in its folds. And then they looked at one another and said, "He is risen." They were compelled to believe, even though they did not understand. And later on it says, they were not concerned about anyone stealing away the body. They knew that was an impossibility. Now, I can understand, for instance, first of all, the desire to believe, to think, that Peter and John certainly understood, they knew Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. They accepted that, they believed that. I can see a person wanting to believe that about these two giants of the faith, that they believed that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. At that particular time, they believed that. I can understand someone wanting to believe that about those two great men. I can believe the sentiment, someone wanting to say that they believed it because it's a basic part of the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I can see somebody saying, well, yeah, they're saved, so certainly they believe that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. Now, let me go to another example in the Scriptures. The Bible talks about the Galatian churches, and the Galatian churches had turned from the gospel to another gospel, which is not another. Now, I could see somebody saying, a staunch, well-meaning believer saying, an organization that calls itself a church, if that organization turns from the gospel to another gospel, which is not another gospel, that organization is not a church. And yet, the Apostle Paul called the Galatian churches, churches, in the inspired Word of God. I do believe in a case such as that, if the Galatian churches continued on that way, that in time, that believers may have abandoned, real believers may have abandoned the church, and in time, it may have come to the point that it was just an organization and not a real church. But there was a time when those churches had turned from the gospel to another gospel. That may seem hard to believe, but we've got scripture that tells us that. Now, in the case of the apostles, these two apostles, there are some things that are very clear in the scriptures. In fact, let me go through a few things. First of all, Jesus Christ very clearly taught his disciples that he would be killed and rise again from the dead. If we just confine ourselves to the book of Matthew, just the book of Matthew, the Bible says in Matthew 16 and verse 21, from that time forth, and notice those words, from that time forth began Jesus, this is Matthew 16, to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, of course, Matthew 16, by this time, I believe that those disciples, or Peter, for instance, let's take him, I believe that he was very much committed to following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He had already turned away from his, as we might say, livelihood to follow Jesus Christ. He was a believer in Jesus Christ. He trusted Jesus Christ. And the Lord taught that he would die and rise again. And yet, Peter rebuked Jesus. After Jesus told him that, Peter rebuked Jesus, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be. Now, of course, Jesus rebuked Peter after he rebuked Jesus. But Peter didn't want to believe that Jesus Christ would die and rise again. In Matthew 17, verse number 9, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. In Matthew 17, verse 23, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again, and they were exceeding sorry. That scripture, he said, the third day he shall be raised again. Then Matthew 20, verse number 19, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. In the third day he shall rise again. In Matthew 26 and verse 32, but after I am risen again. Jesus Christ taught his disciples over and over that he would die and rise again. There's several things I think we might take into consideration. First of all, they did not have the indwelling Holy Spirit at this time. They didn't have the completed Word of God, including the complete Gospels at this time. In addition to that, a person can believe something at one point And then waver, begin to doubt what he believes. Jesus Christ made it very clear that he would rise again. He taught his disciples before he died about that. But then number two, the initial unbelief of the disciples of the resurrection is very well documented in the scriptures. The Bible speaks of Mary Magdalene, out of whom was cast seven devils. After Peter and John left, we got the scripture here. Mary had the idea that somebody had taken the body. And then Peter and John came, they looked in, they left. The Bible said, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Mary Magdalene, after those two had left, spoke to two angels which were in the tomb. And notice chapter number 20 and verse number 13. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Now she, even after Peter and John had come to the tomb, looked in the tomb, she spoke as though that they had taken away her Lord and did not know where they had laid him. Let me say one thing here. In the case of John, of course, the Bible doesn't go through every individual disciple telling where they were in particular as far as the belief in this, but generally speaking, there was quite a bit of unbelief at this point. Mary Magdalene, I believe she was certainly a disciple of Christ. And yet, at this point, she believed that someone had taken the body. In Luke chapter number 24, there's more details. Mary Magdalene and others were spoken to by two men, as the Bible says, in shiny garments. And they clearly told, he is not here, but is risen. Now, very clearly told that he was not there. And this is after the resurrection, very clearly told that he wasn't there, but he was risen. Look, if you will, in chapter number 24 of the book of Luke, and beginning with verse number 22, the scripture says there, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which had said that he was alive. And notice the wording there, a vision of angels. The scripture goes on to say, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, of course, the title of the message, slow to believe and swift to believe. Now, in the case of believing the resurrection, these disciples were slow to believe all that the scripture said, the prophets had said. They were slow to believe. Jesus Christ rebuked them. Now, Jesus Christ appeared to Mary Magdalene, and she went and told them that had been with him, as the Bible says, as they mourned and wept. Mark 16 and verse 11. When they had heard that he was alive and had not been seen, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Then the scripture says, and it speaks about two, and I suspect it's the same two that are found in Luke chapter number 24. But there were two, and those two, Jesus appeared to those two in Mark 16 and verses 13 and 14, the Bible says this, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. This is even dealing with after he had been seen and the report had been given. He ended up reproving the 11 for unbelief. Now, there was a definite problem with unbelief among the disciples, and I think that there were probably a number of reasons why they had such a hard time believing that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. And the 11, for instance, they were all believers. And yet they had a hard time with this at this stage, at this point. They had a hard time. And I think there may have been a number of reasons. And believers today should beware lest we be slow to believe a truth from the Word of God and swift to believe something else, some falsehood that is presented to us. If you don't believe the truth, it may leave the door open for you to believe a falsehood. Now, in the case of the disciples, it is definitely obvious that way back Matthew 16, Peter did not want to accept Jesus Christ would die and rise again. It's very definite there was unbelief among disciples of Jesus Christ concerning this matter. I believe that there were many of them that were, many disciples, slow to believe. Now, instead of denying the obvious, why not learn a lesson from it? First of all, a denial of uncomfortable truths can result in unbelief. Peter did not want to accept the fact that Jesus Christ would die. He did not want to accept it. He rebuked Jesus. And I believe because of his unwillingness to accept the fact that Jesus Christ would die. And of course, those two things are linked together, the death and the resurrection. I believe because he didn't want to believe that Jesus Christ would die. And of course, and Jesus Christ spoke specifically of a crucifixion, then I believe it made it harder for him to also accept the resurrection. And then, secondly, preconceived ideas can set the stage for unbelief. Preconceived ideas can set the stage for unbelief. So often people trust what they want to be so about the Word of God, that they want something to be true, and they trust in what they want to be true. The same thing happened in the area of prayer. A person may want something and call out to God, cry out to God, sincerely, fervently be crying out to God and trust in their prayer instead of trusting in God. And sometimes people may have some belief. They want to be so. And trust that instead of trusting the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Luke in chapter number 24 that the two said, but we trusted that it should have been, or that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. I believe they wanted to believe that Jesus Christ would not go through death and burial and resurrection and then a long time period, but instead Jesus Christ would redeem Israel. And I believe that there were disciples that wanted Jesus Christ to take over and not have any long period in between. And of course, when people have got a preconceived idea, it can make it harder for them to accept the truth. Jesus Christ appeared to disciples after the resurrection, and the Bible says, but they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Suppositions and things that you want to be true, sometimes they can cloud your view so that you cannot see the truth that you need to see. And then, emotions can hinder belief. Jesus Christ showed his hands and his feet to the disciples, and the Bible says, they yet believed not for joy. That may seem a little strange, but they believed not for joy. And sometimes people may not believe because of fear, and sometimes people may not believe because of sorrow. There can be different reasons why people don't want to believe something. Some emotion, an emotion based on something that they believe, something that they want, but an emotion that hinders them from believing. And then, a stubborn desire to do things our way can lead to unbelief. Jesus Christ prophesied to Peter that he would deny Christ. Peter said, though I should deny or die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. A direct contradiction of what Jesus Christ had said. But Peter did not want to believe that he would deny his Lord and Savior. He just did not want to believe it. And then, a misinterpretation of truth can result in unbelief. The eleven may have wanted to believe that Jesus' words about his death and burial and resurrection, they were some kind of a parable. They might have, after hearing, of course, in our own personal home Bible study, been dealing with the Matthew 13, the different parables, they may have wanted to believe that there's something else there. It can't just mean he's going to be scourged and crucified and rise again from the dead. There must be something else to this. And yet, the Scripture says that there was that unbelief, and it's so evident, so much documented in the Word of God. There was that unbelief. I think it might have been because they had some other idea about what this may mean. And then, last of all, unbelief of truth can lead to the accepting of a falsehood. People, for instance, and disciples that did not want to believe that Jesus Christ would die, of course, that can make it harder for them to accept the resurrection. And then if they did not really believe the resurrection, that can make it hard for them to accept that it happened. And so therefore, it can open the door for them to accept Jesus Christ's body has been taken. Now, I believe there were misunderstandings. And I'm talking about real believers. Real believers can believe something at one point. And of course, when it comes to salvation, a real believer can believe something at a point and then later on begin to doubt it, be led astray And even in the realm of some very important things, he can be led astray. And sometimes, a believer may be very sincere, and there may be a point in his life where he really takes some good stands, but then he begins to waver, he begins to doubt, he begins to be fed some falsehood, and goes astray. Now, I believe it wasn't but a few days after this, Peter, for instance, became a tremendous herald of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This was a transition period. The Lord worked patiently with his disciples at this time. But just as one may have a hard time believing that the Galatian churches could go the route that they went, one may also have a hard time believing that the disciples of Jesus Christ went the route they did as far as the belief concerning the resurrection. Now, doubt is something that, it can affect us all. And well, I got saved. I'm just as saved as any of the rest of you. I was just as saved as any of the rest of you at the moment I got saved. Why should I doubt when such a change came? The Holy Spirit moved in. There was just a change in my life, and yet I went through a tremendous time of doubt. And people can doubt some very fundamental things sometimes. Even saved people can doubt some very fundamental things. Now, in the case of the disciples, I don't know every individual disciple. In fact, I was dealing with John, and in that scripture, the Bible says, "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." Now, some may say that John did believe, but others didn't believe. But the word "they" is used here, "they." And so if it includes John and Peter, which, and who else would it be? I believe at that point, they didn't have a good grasp on the fact that Jesus Christ would rise again. Now, I'm dealing with things that can almost seem hard to believe. How could they have been that way? But just look in your own heart. And sometimes you may have doubted some things, thought some things, that if somebody else heard them, they'd say, "How could you believe that? How could you have fallen for that?" If you will, please stand.